Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks to Michael Heidemann, who's been the producer and will be hopefully for a long time, and filling in and working with all these different hosts over the past couple of weeks, and with the John Sebastian song as well. So, Michael, thanks for that. A lot coming up on the program. We're going to go to Kankakee County, my old stomping grounds. You know, the Bears have opened up their summer camp there. I think they did. Maybe it was just yesterday, earlier this week. And Kankakee County is an area that benefits greatly from that boost. So we'll talk to some of the economic developers down there about just what it means to have John Fox and the Bears in their backyard for a few weeks. Tom Gimbel will be here from the LaSalle Network. And one of the things he's going to talk about is about the importance of bringing your personal life to the office, which makes very little sense to me. I don't quite get that. But a lot of you know I've been out with some surgery. So there we go. I just brought my personal life to the office. So we'll see what Tom says about that. Right now, Andrea Haines is in the studio, the editor for Blue Sky Innovation. Andrea, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to see you.
Look, we'll be quick because I know that you want to, you know, take off all those extra clothes, put on your halter top, and head down to Lollapalooza a little bit later, right?
Of course.
You're not going?
I'm not going, have sadly.
I've never been. Have you ever been?
I have not been to Lala.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just something really sad about the two of us.
Their 25th anniversary
not
now.
Not here, though, right?
You know, yeah. No, okay. it's had some different things go on over those years, but still, it's been around a long time.
Extra day this year
Big
because
thing.
Of the anniversary?
I'm sure we're seeing some people out the window that are going, coming.
Yep. Yeah, it won't be me this year, but my kids are going to go, which...
Oh, yeah.
Gives me pause. Should that give me pause? I don't know.
As long as they don't wind up in the ER.
I told, they said the very thing. I said, I don't want to go to Cook County to pick you up. Jail or hospital, either one.
Yeah.
Okay, but so there's a lot about the music there. It's also a lot of technology involved. And, you know, this is supposed to be, and I don't know if it's been quite the year of virtual reality that I expected, but everyone said this year is going to be all about virtual reality, and it certainly is at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, it's definitely starting, and at the festivals, it's become a thing. You know, the festivals all have some kind of virtual reality experience these days, and Lala is no exception. So they are having VR Palooza with Samsung, which is providing some different things, like you can look out from the stage and sort of experience what it would like to, you know, be like to be in a band.
Right.
But they also have a cool thing that one of our reporters tried, which is a virtual reality roller coaster experience. So people are lining up, they get into these seats, and it's what they call a 4D experience. So it's completely...
It's probably 5D for a lot of those people there.
Yeah, that's true. Performance enhancing or other experiential enhancing situations. But so they're in chairs that move and rock. You know, they've got wind blowing in your face while you're experiencing a virtual reality roller coaster ride.
Okay, wait a minute. Don't we do that at Epcot Center?
That's true, yeah.
Right? Is that the same thing?
You know, I think the visuals, you know, are a little different. You know, people screaming, throwing their hands up, like really as if they're experiencing a roller coaster ride.
And so this is a Samsung deal. They have an exclusive with Lollapalooza.
Yes, so they're the sponsor for this particular.
And so you have to have a Galaxy to participate in some of these things?
You do. That's not necessarily for functional purposes, but it's just because it's a perk, shall we say, for Galaxy users.
Yeah. So does that mean if I go there with my Apple 6 that I wouldn't be able to...
Not happening.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there is actually one sort of more general interest area where anyone's welcome to try things out, but some of the more VIP experiences are reserved for Samsung.
And they use the Oculus Rift headphones, right?
They've paired with Oculus. They have their own branded device, but yes, they've paired with Oculus.
Okay, and so that's going on at Lollapalooza. And in the article I was reading about how everyone's getting involved in virtual reality, and this sentence struck me. Jack Daniels is also bringing virtual reality along with its whiskey, said Midwest marketing manager Lisa Estes. Isn't doesn't Jack Daniel's sort of deliver you to virtual reality? Isn't that what that's all about?
I guess if you have enough, you don't actually need to use the device, right?
That could be quite a mix, I would think.
Yeah.
We talk about Grubhub here and Groupon and local companies, and sometimes they're struggling, but Grubhub was having a pretty good week this week.
Yeah, Grubhub and Groupon both reported earnings, both had really strong reports, and both saw their stock pop. So, you know, they both had a fantastic week. The NASDAQ was up in general, but they both had quite big pops on their stock.
And that's because of earnings reports, or what is it for Grubhub?
Yeah, really great second quarter earnings reports, even, you know, beyond what analysts expected.
Yeah, and Grubhub seems to me like it might be one of those ideas that would have been great at the start and then gotten passed by, but it hasn't really been passed by yet.
They haven't been passed by. I mean, there occasionally are, you know, is talk of could an even bigger company acquire them, but so far it's them acquiring other companies and building out what they're doing. You know, they're still investing in technology, still investing in marketing, still growing, and, you know, sounds like for the time being they plan to keep doing that.
Well, good for them. Tell me about this. I think this week, too, this company, Bizly, sort of, now they were in beta for a while, but they just sort of unveiled themselves in Chicago this
week. Exactly. They're based in New York, and they were testing things out in Chicago, but they're officially now you can go and book a hotel conference room. So if you need to have a meeting for 10 people and more your office might not have a room that accommodates that, you can go online and, you know, for people who have used OpenTable to make restaurant reservations, it's very similar to that. You choose a number of people, a time, a day, and you can book a conference room. It's kind of an interesting way, I think, to get into some of these cool hotels.
Well, to sort of have a presence there, have their cachet rub off on your meeting sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. You can have a great location. It's good for the hotels because they're obviously putting on their space that's otherwise unsold for certain days as well. So if you book closer to the time, you're getting an even better price.
So I don't really think too much about the conference room part of the hotel business. Do you have any idea what percentage that is? I mean,
yeah.
It must be small.
Well, certainly, I mean, I think events in general can be big, but these hotels do have a lot of conference rooms. And as one person mentioned, there are times they may have bedrooms filled for people who are attending conferences, but it doesn't mean every conference room they have is being used.
Right,
so it's a great way to leverage those unused rooms.
The piece said there might be a big convention in town, but the meetings are at McCormick Place or somewhere
exactly.
else, not necessarily at their hotel.
Yeah, or in larger rooms. I think these would appeal maybe to startups or for, you know, just smaller groups that might need to connect once in a while and get a room for that.
I thought it was interesting, too. One of the guys said, it's attractive to me because I've got a lot of proprietary information in my office and in my conference room, and I don't necessarily want people to being brought in there.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
All right, so how do we measure their success? They're just underway, and we're going to put this as an automatic success?
You know, they've got 4 hotels signed on. I would imagine they need to get some more and are working on that to make it, you know, a really sizable business.
That's Andrea Haynes, the editor of Blue Sky Innovation, the Chicago Tribune. All right, stick around. Let's bring your personal problems to work. We're going to do that a little bit later. Good to see you again. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Chicago. Michigan Avenue is absolutely buzzing. It's weather's great. A lot of people in town for Lollapalooza. A lot of people in town for a lot of different reasons. And it's just so nice to see people getting here a week early ahead of the big Olympic opening ceremonies next Friday. Wait a minute. That's the wrong continent, isn't it? We missed that one. I guess it's not going to happen here. Tom Gimbel is here, the principal behind the LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Good to be with you.
All right. So you always surprise me with the topics that you want to talk about. And this is no different because
you always surprise me that you let me talk about them.
The idea is that you think it's a good idea. I think most of us think that we're supposed to come to the office and leave our social or personal life at home. The bosses want us to focus on the task at hand, leave all that stuff behind, and you're here to argue that that's not quite the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think if we reverse it for a few seconds here and we say, you know, the goal of being a good parent is to try to leave your work at work and engage with your kids, especially when they're young.
Sure, okay.
And that's the big thing with phones. Get off your phone, engage with your kid. And if you can't do that when you're with your children, how are you supposed to turn off your family and your personal life when you're at work?
Right.
I mean, some people can compartmentalize like that. I'm not one who can, so I kind of bring that into my organization. I coach my clients to do that. So if somebody's going through, if their significant other, kid, parent is sick, has cancer, they're getting forced out of their apartment, their roommate's doing this, that, or the other thing to them, Tell your boss. Get it off your chest. Everybody knows. Otherwise, you look in someone's eyes, and you can see the sadness, the depression. You don't know if they're unhappy at work or unhappy in life.
Right. So if you're a manager and you see someone walking around all dejected, you don't know it's because of some task you just
You usually did. Think they don't like what they're doing at work. What's wrong here? We're all focused in the moment.
Well, so it takes a measure of courage, though. I'm trying to figure out by whom.
By both.
Yeah.
By both.
Because
the employee has to open up, and the manager has to actually care. I mean, we're going to laugh about that.
No.
But if the manager actually cares about people, and you talk about being employee, you know, I've said this on the show, I think I say it a lot when I speak, is that allowing somebody to bring their dog to work is a perk, not a culture. Texting somebody when they have to put their dog to sleep, I hope you're okay.
Right.
That's
right.
Culture.
Right.
Okay. Right? And it's the same thing with people's personal lives. When they bring it in, you have to want to care about what's going on. Sometimes they need a kick in the butt, and other times they need a hug. And you got a good manager knows when to do which.
I'm always all for seeing the dark cloud about this because it seems to me like you might have personal lives overtaking the office life.
It happens all the time anyways, right? So instead of having somebody running down to the lobby to be texting or making a cell phone call, they're doing it from the office. And as long as you're talking about getting people's work product done, why not have an open environment? And then you know when they need a push and when to bring them back, when to send them home early for the day, when to tell them to come in early on the next day.
Do you worry about treating workers equally then? If someone's going to say, well, you're being awful nice to the woman with the dying dog. Why don't you give me some time off?
And you know what? I can't wait for somebody in your family to get sick, and then you can have some perks too. I mean, I think that's the crux of it, right?
Right.
Hopefully you never need special treatment. How great is that?
Right. So tell me then in general with the idea, and I guess this is what we're talking about in some ways is just water cooler conversation, right? Well, workers sharing their lives with each other,
and
it draws them closer, brings them closer.
If you're a manager of people in a perfect world, if somebody wants to leave your organization because the work isn't fulfilling or they want something else, wouldn't you want to know that before 2 weeks' notice?
Right, right.
Right? Well, if they're not going to be honest with you about what's going on in their personal life, they're sure as heck not going to tell you more than 2 weeks in advance that they're looking to leave.
All right, so you're the manager. You're listening to this. What's the first step you take? Because it is about a culture, and sometimes that's not so easily changed.
It's the regular thing is to have at least twice a month one-on-ones with your direct reports and let them know that what's going on in your life, what's going on at work.
Share what's going on in your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, because your personality changes based on what's going on. Hey, listen, my kid's sick. My kid got kicked out of college. My grandfather died. Whatever the issues are, and tell them that people, they want to see the human side of their managers. It works.
Tom Gimbel, the principal at the LaSalle Network. You can read more at thelasallenetwork.com. Sorry to hear about your grandfather.
He's been long since passed.
Thanks very much for coming by. Good to see you again.
Have a great weekend.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is 12:35 on this Friday afternoon. So, are you in the market to buy a house? Maybe you're trying to sell your house. I don't know. I have a neighbor, good friend of mine, who is out of the area now, but his house is for sale. So every time someone comes by to look at it, I send him a text. I'm kind of like Mrs. Kravitz sitting in the front window. But, you know, I want him to be happy. I want him to move the house. And so far, it is not quite happening. So we are going to talk to Jonathan Smoke, the chief economist at Realtor.com, just about how the housing market has been going so far this year. And I think the numbers have been red hot. The question is, will they continue to be that way? And if not, what do people who are trying to sell their houses do, or how do they get around that? But the numbers, I think the June numbers are just in, and they look pretty good. June's pending home sale figures were their highest since June of 2005, and that includes June of 2006, which was the peak of the housing boom. So the numbers certainly are big, but they say that the inventory has been pretty tight lately, and that makes things difficult. I suppose it all depends upon where you live, though, because where I live, I see more and more houses going on the market each and every day. So we're going to hopefully, with any luck, talk with Jonathan Smoke, the chief economist at Realtor.com, about that coming up in a couple of minutes. Also, you know, if you are a Bears fan, I don't know if you've ever made the trip down to Bourbonnais to watch the training camp, but things opened up there yesterday, and the numbers traditionally for the Bears and for the people, the business owners of Bourbonnais and the greater Kankakee area do pretty well during this summer camp. A lot of people go down there. I think the number that I saw most recently was $135 million a year in economic impact for the Bears. That's quite a big number for an area that, frankly, can use that number. So we will talk to some of the economic leaders of Kankakee County and the greater Kankakee area coming up in just a minute or two. Waiting for Jonathan Smoke, the chief economist at Realtor.com, to join us on a phone line. And when he does, we'll talk about the housing numbers. The area that I think has been hottest now, of course, it's not Illinois or Chicago, but this town of Vallejo, Fairfield, California, which I'm not too familiar with, but hopefully Jonathan Smoke can fill us in on that, the chief economist at Realtor.com. Jonathan, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you. Glad to join you.
Hey, I was just going over some of the numbers for June, the pending home sales and all, and things are looking pretty rosy.
Yes, it's been an incredible first half of the year, and the momentum seems to be carrying its way through July, thanks in no small measure to these incredibly low mortgage rates we've been enjoying.
Yeah, but you know, the mortgage rates have been pretty low for quite a while, right? I mean, what's different now than a year ago this time?
Well, it's a good point, but it also gives you good perspective on exactly why this summer's a bit different. We have enjoyed historically low mortgage rates for the better part of this entire recovery. However, every spring and summer except for this one, mortgage rates moved in the upward direction.
Okay.
This is the first time we've really enjoyed them at a low level, with the exception of 2012, when we had a lot of other economic and consumer confidence issues that really prevented the housing market from being as strong back then.
And summer is the hot time, right? Or I would imagine the beginning of summer. Do things start to wane as the summer days get shorter?
That is correct. Basically, housing follows, the real estate market follows a very defined, extremely seasonal trend that the weather plays a huge role in, but also the school calendar impacts. And then finally, I would argue a whole lot of it is just learned behavior.
It's like expectations, right? They live up to their own expectations in a way.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And it's amazing just how, like clockwork, you can count on when the market's going to peak from an inventory perspective, when sales are going to peak, when pricing's the highest, when it's the lowest.
I first came upon that, I think it was last year, the year before, when someone made reference to the winter or the post-Christmas housing season beginning, which I'd never heard of. But the idea was that no one really looked at a house over the holidays, so it was lull, and then that's just what the expectations were, so nothing ever moved during that time.
That is exactly right, and you would be amazed that literally the day after Christmas, traffic jumps on real estate sites, because it's like people get over their turkey hangover and they're ready to get back into the real estate market.
So if people are aware of that, does that make it advantageous for them as buyers? I mean, if they know that the season is about to slow down, maybe then you've got sellers more willing to work than they would have been in May or June.
Well, that's exactly what buyers need to understand, that if you're able to go into the market at the, quote, off-peak time of the year as a buyer, you face about half the competition that you do during the busiest time of the year, and that means there's literally about 50% more inventory, more choices available to you without competition, and it does switch the buying power, giving you more of the buying power because the seller at that time of the year tends to be more desperate.
All right, so new housing starts. And explain this for me. I was looking at some of the numbers, and I'm not sure I quite understand it all. But if you look at the new homes being built, a greater percentage of them are being built already with owners in mind rather than builders building houses on spec. Correct? Is that the way I'm reading that?
That is correct.
And what does that mean?
Well, it basically means that the biggest share of single-family starts when builders are beginning construction on a home, they already have a contract, they already have a buyer in mind. And, of course, that gives them a less riskier investment,
sure,
makes the financing of that construction a bit easier. But to a potential buyer, and especially the kind of buyer that, say, relocating from another part of the country, they usually don't have the 6 to 9 month window to be able to wait for a home to be constructed, or at least not without finding some place to live temporarily. So it diminishes the new home as being an option for a pool of buyers.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
But it does open up the opportunity for a buyer that does have time and does have patience. A new home is one of the only ways that you can avoid competition in many parts of the country today.
Yeah, you want one, build it yourself. Now, I remember during the boom, tell me if it's still this way, that people where I lived would have a lot or they'd want to build a house, and they couldn't get builders to build them unless they were just these mega giant, fill every square inch of the lot sort of house. You know, the builders had very little interest in building kind of an affordable new house. Are we still there today?
Yes. I would say it's actually even worse today.
Really?
This is one of my biggest concerns about what's still imbalanced about the housing market. And it's, you can't completely blame the builders for it, because there's essentially a lot of issues have all come together to make it extremely difficult for them to find a way to get affordable lot positions that they can turn into affordable homes to be built. But also going back to the financing that's difficult for them to get on homes, it's even more difficult for them to pencil when you throw in some of the regulations that they face around impact fees, zoning requirements. It's amazing how many places in the country have minimum lot zoning requirements,
right,
that effectively prevent more affordable units.
When you said that, I was automatically thinking maximum footprint, but you're saying that there are some with an actual minimum footprint on the lot?
That is exactly true.
That's too bad.
One of the hottest markets in the country in Nashville, Tennessee, is not producing the amount of new construction that they typically have. And one of the hottest areas of that market, Brentwood, has a minimum 1 acre lot requirement on all new homes being constructed. Well, in this day and age, an acre, even in a southern town that historically might have enjoyed larger lots, essentially forces the price point there to be very expensive.
That's too bad. And so now we're building all these big, giant homes that are going to cost more to keep up, certainly more to heat and keep cool. And if we don't need the space, that's really not good for any of us.
Well, the good news is with the building codes and the materials going into homes, the larger homes actually can be even more energy efficient than smaller homes. But it's still a key part of our affordability crisis that's emerging in the country, because if you can't build enough units that are more affordable, that are the entry place for new home buyers, people who are coming out of the rental housing stock, and then there's no place for them to go that keeps them in that renting category. And we have record numbers of renters and record low levels of vacancies in the country. And that's why we're seeing rents go up even faster than home prices.
I'd love to talk to you about renting sometime down the road. We're out of time right now, though. Jonathan Smoke, the chief economist at Realtor.com. Nice to talk to you. Thanks very much today.
Nice to talk to you, too.
You bet. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is 12:52 on a Friday afternoon. The weekend is just ahead, and maybe you should get in your car, drive south for the weekend, and visit Kankakee County. Stacy Wilkin is the executive director of the Kankakee County Visitors and Convention Bureau, and she joins us on a phone line now. Stacy, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm great. Yeah, so there are more visitors in Kankakee County today than there probably were last week at this time, right?
You are absolutely correct. There's a ton more visitors. And
look at that. The phones are ringing off the hook already.
Perfect. Perfect.
Hello, this is Orion.
Oh, that's Orion. That was our phone, Stacy. So the idea, though, is the Chicago Bears have started their training camp. They've been down there. I know that George Ryan brought them down as governor. So what has it been, 10 or 15 years?
They are actually celebrating their 15th anniversary this year. We had a kickoff party just this week, and Mr. McCaskey was here to present Olivet Nazarene University with a really beautiful jersey that celebrated the 15 years here.
And, you know, the part of the what's a story here is the fact that more and more NFL teams are sort of getting rid of these summer camps, right? But the Bears are sticking with Kankakee.
The Bears have been awesome, and I really believe they're excited to be here. There's a great partnership between Olivet, between the Bears, and all of our community partners here locally. So I think it's a really good opportunity for to keep them coming here, and hopefully we can be a good host.
What does it mean for the businesses of Kankakee County to have the Bears there?
Businesses all, you know, really embrace having all of those fans coming in to dine in their restaurants, stay in their hotels, enjoy all of the attractions. In tourism dollars, the county alone generated over $134 million in 2014 in tourism dollars alone. And the Bears camp was really a huge, huge impact on that figure.
And how do people spend their money? Is it just, are your hotels filling up? I would imagine people drive down for the day and then drive back at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, with camp schedule being a lot of morning practices, we're seeing a fewer less hotel stays, but extending their stay into that staycation where they can go kayaking down the Kankakee River or staying at one of our hotels and enjoying the parks or the festivals or all of the awesome outdoor activities. We've got skydiving. We've got scuba diving. So there's really a lot of fun stuff that they can do while they're here that can help boost that local economy.
Well, I was going to, maybe you just answered my next question, but that was, so as the person in charge of keeping them there, what do you do? How do you get your message out to the people who go down to watch the Bears, the fact that there's a lot more that they could do there and other ways to spend their money?
That's definitely our job as a Convention and Visitors Bureau, to really market this destination as more than just the Bears, but really to highlight the county as being a host for the Bears. So we're really excited to have them here, and we can really showcase the great things that we have to do while they're here.
Two things. Can you still get a Yanaki sauce bun?
You sure can.
Okay, that'll seal the deal.
Down the street, so... Yep, you're in.
Okay, Yanaki sauce buns, for people who don't know, and I would imagine that's just about everyone or most. It's just, what is it? It's like a sliced open hot dog bun filled with sloppy Joe.
Yeah, and I'm going to take your word for it. I've never had one, but I've seen it on the menu. But that may be my next stop.
Yeah, you have to have that. I mean, you should be selling that. That's Kankakee County. And then the other thing I think of is Monocle's Pizza. They're still up and operating, right?
Monocle's Pizza is terrific, and if you are south of I-80, you know what we're talking about, but people come home for the Monocle's Pizza. So it is really good, but we've got barbecue, we've got, you know, all kinds of brew pubs and wineries, so there is a lot to do down here.
All right, so the people, the camp runs, what, through next week, or how, you have a full week left or a little more than that?
They're here for 10 days in Bourbonnais, so we'll be here until August 9th. It's next Tuesday, so about a week and a half left. A ton of great stuff to do. You can get autographs. You can see the players. Yesterday, as Cutler and all the players were leaving, we've got crazy fans running up for autographs, and the kids are pumped. And I don't know who's more excited, to be honest with you, the kids or the parents.
So yeah, and it's
been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it's my old part of the world. I went to high school in Kankakee and grew up in Manteno, a wonderful state park there. Go see the Bears and go for a nice walk along the Kankakee River. A lot to do down there this summer. Stacy, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Yep. And if you guys have any more questions, definitely visit online. Visit KankakeeCounty.com.
Let me tell you right now, I'm not calling you again until you've had a sauce bun.
Well, you have to come back down, and we can go grab one together.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.